Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Why Austin is making a mess over here.
Listen, right. It's Friday. I was grabbing a can. It was supposed to be over here. It wasn't over here. I'm moving things around right before the show.
Well, I did move the can to the kitchen so I wouldn't make a mess.
The can was right here. When I walked in here, I walked back in. It's gone. So I had to go find it and commandeer it back. And here we are. Some shakes, some protein, some collagen. Getting some stuff done this morning. And getting a lot of information to you guys. And now, you know, many times over the years, we've brought up topics that most people wouldn't discuss at first. Many topics that people would continually blast us about and tell us that we were wrong. And we ended up being right many times. Stuff that was not the cool topic at the time. And we were continually being the oppositional content that a lot of people didn't agree with. And then later on, it came that we were.
Yeah, isn't it funny? We got all these letters. You guys are wrong.
Oh, I know.
And all of a sudden, also like. But, you know, I never get the one that says, you guys are right.
Yeah, I know, right?
So it tells us stuff and a year goes by, 2 years go by, 3 years go by. All of a sudden, it's like everything we told you was accurate. And you're like, they're right again. This is awful.
But then when it comes back, it's like, you guys were right about this a couple years ago.
Yeah, and then what's funny about the ones, and I know this is going to sound awful. When the ones sent us these horrible letters, when we go back into the Health Master's files, they have never ordered even a toothpaste from Health Master.
Vast majority, I would say probably 99.9%.
Yeah.
When you get these ugly emails, you go back and it's zero orders.
When zero support.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, you don't want to order anything, but all you want to do is send me emails about how mad you are about something that I said.
Well, if you're not going to be part of the solution, you're going to be part of the problem. That's how I look at the whole thing. So it's the whole thing's fine.
And this ties into, you know, I didn't want to be right, but we talked about this in 2023. We started to warn people about this with the GLP drugs, and now it's coming home to roost.
Here we go. Get ready,
medical
guys.
Breakthrough to backlash. Novo Nordisk is now facing over a $2 billion lawsuit now. So Novo Nordisk, the maker of the blockbuster diabetic drug Ozempic, is the center of a brewing legal storm with more than 1,800 patients now in the lawsuit, alleging that Ozempic caused debilitating side effects. Now, it's interesting.
It does cause debilitating side
effects. Well, no, these are all documented. Stomach paralysis, intestinal blockage, persistent vomiting, dehydration, gallbladder inflammation, and gallstones. That's a big one, by the way. And you can actually, we have a gallbladder cleanse on the website. You can check out if that's an issue. Vision loss. This is probably one of the worst ones now that's coming out. And pancreatitis and kidney injury. The plaintiffs argue that Novo Nordisk failed to adequately warn consumers and healthcare providers about these risks, despite mounting evidence from adverse event reports and clinical studies. So now the analysts project total liability could exceed $2 billion now and growing. Essentially, what happened was in 2023, study published in JAMA linked the GLP-1 drugs to increased risk of gallstones. And essentially also pancreatitis. And it goes into detail here how Novo Nordisk continues to deny wrongdoing, stating that Ozempic is safe when used as directed. Now, here's the part that's the kicker that Ozempic is using as their excuse on this. And I'm not supporting pharmaceutical companies. You know my stance on that. A lot of stuff they do is very, very nefarious at best as far as them trying to make an enormous amount of money on the backs of people and their health. A lot of times not making them better. But here's the problem. This is the argument they're going to run into on here. Ozempic and GLP-1 drugs were never, ever studied, tested, or approved to be used as weight loss drugs. They were diabetic 2 drugs. You had type 2 diabetes. You're in really rough shape. You're borderline going to die. You're having to take so much insulin. Metformin's not working for you. You've got to try to get your blood sugar under control. That's why these drugs got approved on paper. What happened was everybody realized because of what it did in reversing syndrome X, so to speak, and getting blood sugar under control, you could use it as a weight loss drug. And you had every single doctor under the sun. It's almost like the weight loss version of OxyContin. It's almost what it was like on there, where you had these doctors that came in and said, oh, we can make an enormous amount of profit by now selling this drug to people that are obese and want to lose weight, instead of just people that actually need it. Let's give it to everyone that wants to lose a couple pounds.
Well, they did that with Fen-Phen many, many years ago. They were using it for weight loss, and it wasn't supposed to be for that. It started causing heart valve damage.
There you go.
And so they had this massive lawsuit. But, you know, we've warned people about this. We have covered these side effects over and over and over. And the sad part about it is, and you and I talked about it before the show started, the vast majority of these people are having syndrome X, which means they have elevated insulin because of their stinking diet.
Yeah.
No. Let me give a perfect example. I know one lady, and she basically lives on mints.
Mints, like
sugar mints.
Like Lifesaver mints?
I'm not going to pick on Lifesavers, but yes,
that
mints.
Kind of style mint.
Okay. Like Lifesavers. And it's like one after another. And the other day I was talking to her, and she'd been using Ozempic.
Ozempic.
And she basically lost a bunch of weight. And then she basically stopped taking the Ozempic and getting all the weight back.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, your problem is you live on, she was literally eating a bucket full like this of mints every day.
The thing is, those mints are probably only 10 or 20 calories a piece.
But you got you're eating hundreds of mints.
But you eat hundreds of mints, yeah.
And so what it's doing, she had a problem with alcohol when she was younger. So most alcoholics have hypoglycemia.
Yep.
I'm letting you know that. The guys who are really, 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 really hardcore alcoholics are almost always hypoglycemic.
Yeah.
And so they're always using the alcohol to bring their blood sugar back up again. The problem with that is that when you bring that blood sugar up, you bring the insulin up with it because the body starts dumping all this insulin. Then you become insulin resistant. And when that happens, you have what's called syndrome X. Now, that insulin is constantly taking that blood sugar and storing it as fat. And that's what the Ozempic does.
Right.
It stops that. But the problem is it has all kinds of horrible side effects. So here's the caveat. If you've got a problem with syndrome X and you've got type 2 diabetes and nothing's working for you and you decide you want to take this product, why don't you change your diet?
Yeah.
I mean, doggone. You know, Austin, it's so frustrating to me because I try so hard to help people and try to be nice and not fuss.
I don't
like
me
fussing.
Too.
You know, every once in a while I get a nasty letter from somebody and I just write down, I wish you the best. I'm going to block and delete you now. That's all I do. I don't even bother with it because I've learned a long time ago when you try to answer letters that are basically caustic and hostile, that it doesn't do any good. They send you another caustic and hostile letters that's even longer. It never goes. It goes on and on and on. So it's best to say goodbye. And the thing about it is that, you know, when I say to you guys, look, chicken and vegetables.
Yeah.
Fish and vegetables, grilled or baked. Beef and vegetables, you know.
You do some brown rice and
not
that. Some more carbs.
I don't like the brown rice, but I know you do.
I do.
But I just don't like it. To me, it makes me bloat. But I like chicken and vegetables, and I like drinking my water. I drink my protein shakes. I do all this stuff, and I keep my weight down. Now, I'm probably up 10-ish pounds or whatever where I need to be. I got that. You've sent me the letters on it. Thank you. I appreciate you. You know, whatever. And, you know, but you know, I'm working on getting the 10 pounds back off. I was eating out too much it doesn't matter who I was with. But the reality is that I'm in a situation where I'm doing the best I possibly can to try to tell you guys how to stay healthy without using drugs like this. They have all kinds of horrible side effects, like stomach paralysis.
Well, yeah, and blindness.
And blindness.
I mean, it's bad enough you're throwing up. It's bad enough you got pancreatitis. Now all of a sudden you wake up in the morning and you can't see.
Now you're blind. Well, it's the same thing. Okay, let's step back. Let's go to Viagra and Cialis now and all these other types of drugs like that with guys that have erectile dysfunction. Yeah, we're going to go there for a second. You know, rather than taking drugs like that, why don't you work on improving your cardiovascular health
circulation. Yep.
Why don't you start doing the HGH stimulating, vitamin E and zinc? And try all that.
And if you're working on, you're trying to get work on blood pressure, you can also use some of the small round trampolines. Those were great.
Oh, those were great.
They said you can buy them on any web. You go on eBay. They have them for kids. They have them for adults. They have them with bars if you're not stable enough.
You get a lot of places, a lot of the who sell used gym equipment sell.
They're like $50, $100.
Yeah, they're nothing.
They're little round trampolines. If you do that for a couple minutes a day, then you can work up to doing 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, multiple times a day, and you'll be shocked on how quickly it starts dropping your blood pressure down to a healthy range, and it'll really help your cardio a lot. I mean, when you do 5 or 10 minutes on a trampoline just jumping, you'll start sweating. You'll feel good. And
It will. No, and it works great for it.
It's low impact.
It's the absolute best blood pressure exercise you can do.
Now, why does it do that? As far as it's something to do with the...
I'm so glad you asked. Yeah. I can answer that, okay? You know, you got a vein in your leg like this. And it's got a one-way valve to keep the water from, keep the blood from pooling back into your feet.
Okay.
Well, that one-way valve starts getting kind of stiff.
Okay.
And so then you start having elevated blood pressure because the blood's not circulating properly.
Okay.
When you jump up and down on a trampoline, it exercises that one-way valve, which allows it to work to allow the blood to flow through the vein properly.
And then come back up.
Hmm? And that's what it does. And so what it does, it moves it back and forth. And when you do all that, what happens is you start to have better circulation, which decreases cardiovascular blood pressure.
Yep.
Remember, the pressure is what forces it through the blood vessels. If the blood vessels, the veins aren't opening up, it's got to increase the pressure.
Right.
So then, and it becomes like, it's like putting your hand over a water hose.
Okay.
That's what it does. When you close those valves up, they don't work right. It's like putting your fingers over a water hose.
That's going
to all that
going
pressure
up.
Goes to the roof. Okay. So when you open those valves back up, it eliminates the high blood pressure in many cases. Now, the same thing is true. You got with Viagra. Viagra has warning labels. It can cause you to go blind and deaf. Okay. Optic nerve and audio nerve degradation.
Yep.
Okay. Well, people say, well, I can't have relations with my wife anymore. I'm going to start on Viagra. Okay, well, great. Now you're blind and deaf, and now you still can't have relations with your wife. So, I mean, it gets worse, right? So why don't you try the supplements first and get your cardiovascular system up.
Yeah.
Get on the trampoline. Do whatever you need to do.
HGH stimulate.
Lose weight. Use HGH stimulate. Use about four zinc capsules a day.
And if you're working on testosterone issue, if it comes down to that, if you get your blood work done, you can run the Testo Plus and or the Tribulus Fuel. Both those work really good. And also, too, remember this. This is something a lot of people don't discuss. If you start taking those supplements like the Testo Plus or the Tribulus, we have a product called DIM. It's estrogen control. It's a DIM supplement. Really clean, really lean. Works great for you. Because what will happen is in some cases, some men are predisposed to this, is that some testosterone converts into estrogen. Estrogen and testosterone are antagonistic, meaning if your estrogen is going up, it's going to suppress your testosterone. This is why a lot of times, guys that get really obese, they start having a lot of body fat, and they're eating a lot of junk food with a lot of soybean oil. They have gynecomastia because elevated estrogen. Elevated estrogen, your testosterone cannot come up. Period. If you have super high estrogen in a male, his natural testosterone is never going to go above a base point. It can't. You've got to get the estrogen back under control to allow the testosterone to start to build back up naturally, and that's where the supplements come into place.
We're making zero claims here. All we're saying is you get healthy blood chemistry.
Correct.
Helps to maintain healthy blood chemistry. That's it. That's all the claim we're making here if you take the right kind of foods. But, you know, you think about it for a second. How many guys are out there who basically have to go on high blood pressure?
Yeah.
Now, listen to me for a second. They take the high blood pressure medicine. Now, all of a sudden, they have erectile dysfunction.
Correct.
Because now their blood pressure isn't high enough to cause an erection.
Yeah.
Okay? Now they're sitting there going, that's great. Well, let me get some Viagra.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're on that. So now they start, and they do another drug. Now they're on four or five different drugs because they don't want to jump around on a trampoline for a few minutes a day.
And stop eating junk.
And the thing that's crazy to me is I see these people, and I know people like this, and I've worked with them for years. They'll have a problem like this. Well, I got to change. And then when they come in and talk to me and Austin or whatever, and that's fine. But then they, after a couple of months on the program, they basically stop doing it again. And then pretty soon they call back, I'm back, you know, and it's always like flare gun. Well, isn't it better just to go ahead and stay on a healthy protocol to start with than it is to try to do flare guns?
Yeah.
That's
true.
Do you really want to have the doctor say to you, you know, you have cancer? Would it be easier to prevent the cancer? I've got a friend of mine right now. He smokes all the time. Great guy. And now they're having a chest of testing for cancer and his immune system and all this other stuff's wrong with him. And I'm like, dude, you know, there's a probability here that, you know, you're cutting oxygen off to your cells from the nicotine. So why don't you stop doing that? Oh, I know I need to. But they'll go right in and do the chemotherapy. They'll go right in and do the crazy part about it is, now doctors, listen to me for a second. If you're an MD and you're dealing with all this, why don't you tell them to stop smoking? When they come to your office, say, you know, you're really increasing your risks of cancer and oxygen deprivation to the cells. Cancer doesn't live in the presence of high oxygen. It can't. It's basically an anaerobic disease without oxygen. So why don't you tell your patients, but you may not know this, but I'm telling you now, that if they're going to smoke, and they're going to use nicotine, and they're going to put a vasoconstrictant in their body, that they're probably going to have an increase in blood pressure, number one, from the nicotine, and they're going to have a decrease in oxygen from the nicotine, and they're going to have a massive increase in cancer risk. It says on the label of the cigarette it causes cancer. Now, I don't know how else to make that blunt.
Well, and now you've got this whole thing, because, I mean, I like I said, back in the day, I used to use smokeless tobacco. I quit that a long time ago. It was absolutely horrible for you. Now they have these things all called Zen. These little pouches, there's no tobacco in them, but they're like 6 milligram nicotine Zen, 5 milligrams. And I've talked to guys that are using 2-3 of these things at a time. And I've told them, I said, listen, dude, I said, I'm not going to fuss at you.
A heart attack.
I used to be there. I know where you're at. I said, but I'm telling you right now, you're trying to exercise. You're trying to stay in shape. The nicotine's an appetite suppressant, so it does help you not eat, so you stay leaner on it. I said, but you're literally wrecking your cardiovascular system. I mean, you're getting 8, 9, 10, 12s of nicotine. I said, remember, you're not throwing in some, you know, tobacco leaves from the field. You're taking in raw synthetic nicotine that is jam-packed in much higher amounts than even involved in nature. You're like, well, I knew my granddad used to, you know, chew tobacco back in the day. Yeah, but they pull literally tobacco leaves off and they chew on them. This is not that anymore. This is high, high dose synthetic nicotine. The same thing's going on with these vapes now too.
Well, the problem is, it's the same thing with the vapes. Here's the problem. Listen to me for a second. Here's why the kids are using the vapes. Now pay attention to this. You know, I'm not trying to be degrading here, but I'm trying to let you know that this is really important. Kids nowadays are being psychologically damaged because of social media.
They are.
Okay?
That's a fact.
They're being psychologically damaged. They think that, you know, the only way that you can prove that you're great or that you have a great self-esteem is that you've got to be doing X.
Right.
And if you can't do X, you get depressed.
It's a new trend.
There's a new trend. That's why the kids are committing suicide at record rates. This is a real problem, guys. And so that's why you got to keep your kids off social media. Well, little Johnny got a new car. Little Johnny's daddy got a new car. They got a big screen TV. And all of it's on. So it's like, why don't we have all this?
Yep.
Okay. And suddenly, and I'm trying to say this in a way that's not going to be horrible. But our society has become gynocentric.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? Guys are supposed to worship women like they're Venus and that they're a god. And the women really believe this crap. I'm sorry, but they do. And so they want this guy to be able to provide them a car, provide them their housing. Remember, they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything. They just want to have the guy pay for everything. And if the guy can't do that, he obviously is inadequate. So now the guy's self-esteem goes to the crap because he can't provide for this Venus. Well, then the Venus doesn't know what to do because her guy can't provide for the Venus. And I want to be worshipped, she says. What the heck? This is all because of social media and Frankfurt School and because of all the crap they taught these girls with basically cultural Marxism and feminism. And now the guys don't know what to do. So they wear their little princess bracelet. And now they say, can you please support me and get me little charms for my princess bracelet? And they walk around like a bunch of soy boys. I almost said a bad word. And the sad part about all of it is, it's our culture. So now what do? They say, the kid goes, huh, I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. Try this vape.
Yeah.
And they self-medicate.
Nicotine at all times.
It's self-medicating. And so the kids are going, oh, this is great. I feel great when I'm on nicotine. All of a sudden now they're vaping. And you're like, what the heck's wrong with you?
The problem with nicotine is it takes higher. When you start using in that amount, you have to start using higher and higher amounts to get the buzz off of it because your body gets so
addicted to it. And the same thing is true with alcohol.
Yeah.
Because I got to deaden my emotions. I need a drink. Got to drink. You know, and I got to use nicotine. It used to be I had to smoke a cigarette.
Yeah.
Now I got to use nicotine. Now I got to drink. Now I got to take drugs. Now I got to take mushrooms. Now I got to do this. Now I got to do that. And no, it never, ever ends because you're trying to fill a God-shaped vacuum on the inside of you that only God can fill through Jesus Christ. That's it. But you're trying to find some outside source to do it. Let's go. Well, we don't know what to do now. We're obviously not exactly what we're supposed to be. Let's do a Zupka. I can lose weight.
Yeah.
Why don't you cut out the junk food? You said it at the beginning of the show, Austin, before we started.
Yeah.
Why in the world do you feel as though that your food has to entertain you? And don't get me wrong. I know I got a lot of foodies listening to the show. I get so aggravated. I got a friend of mine, Man Cow. I love Man Cow. He's a foodie. He's always sending me pictures of food. No.
Don't get me wrong. I love a good filet.
Why do I care about a picture of food that he's eating.
Well, that it's funny you say that. That became a trend about 10 years ago. I remember when it started where people on Facebook and social media every time, and I remember I was out with some friends one time and they did that. It was a while back.
Taking pictures of their plate.
No, we were like five or six of us. And we all get our meals. They were the good meals. I think I got a filet. And this one buddy's girlfriend's like, well, hold on a second. I'm like, oh, we're saying grace. I say grace. She goes, hold on. I'm like, hold on what? We said grace. Let's eat. Oh, I got to take a photo of the table of all the food. What? I got to take a photo of all the food. Why? I was like, post it. I said, you have 3 seconds flat to take a photo, and I'm cutting my filet. Oh, he takes the photo, and I'm like, I'm done. Now it's chow time. And it was like my first experience where I'm like, I don't know why we took a photo of the food. Maybe it's a memory. Maybe it's okay, cool, got it. But we didn't get our faces in it. It was just the food. And I'm like, okay, cool, let's eat now. I don't have to have a photo of my filet.
You know, the thing about
to go back
it is,
and reminisce on it.
When you're an athlete, you know,
okay. Food becomes very much
no,
just a tool.
It's just
a tool.
It's protein and fat.
It's exactly right.
It's carbohydrates. It's fuel to feed your body. That's all it is. I mean, I sit there and I don't think about my food having to entertain me.
No.
I don't think.
But that's the difference between disciplined athletes, whatever sport you're in, whether you're in football, whether you're in jiu-jitsu, whether you're bodybuilding. Food is never really there to entertain you anymore because it's got a specific purpose at a specific amount, a specific time, and that's all you use
it for. I need X amount of calories, X amount of protein grams, period.
Period. And X amount of sessions, and I mean, it's like, I'm done.
Well, no, and then you see the fact that people do this stuff, and then they start eating all the time. And I see this, and also it's that 1 pound a month.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's a pound a month. It doesn't mean anything. In the year, it's 12 pounds. Oh, whatever. It's 12 pounds. Who cares?
My statement on this, and a lot of other friends of mine that still train and stuff to stay pretty shape, even I have buddies that are in their 40s, they're still shredded, 50s, they're still shredded, is that you try to keep your body, and that's the goal we always have is, can I be ready to go on a trip somewhere, a beach trip in like 6 to 8 weeks? If you stay in that range, I'm 10 or 15 pounds over for Christmas. You know, okay, whatever. I'm 215, 220. Now I need to be back down to 205, 210, 200. You could float around those numbers. You can utilize them. Like you said, I'm 10 pounds up. It's not a big deal. But it's not, I'm 10 pounds up, I'm 20 pounds up, I'm 50 pounds up, I'm 80 pounds up. At a certain point in time, you got to go, I can't be ready to go on a trip in 8 weeks. I got to dial back down.
Now here's what happens to you, though, and it does. It does. When you work out all the time and you exercise, and there's a point in your life you look great.
Oh, gosh, yeah, don't even start.
You don't want to take photos when you don't look great.
No,
anymore.
You don't. You know? And the problem is, wait, you do run into this as you get older, too, is you're always trying to chase what you once were, and it doesn't happen.
It doesn't
anymore.
Work.
You know, I want to be shredded like I was on stage when I was 23. Yeah, that's entirely too much work. I have no interest in ever doing that again. But, you know, say you got to be realistic. You got to be simplistic, too. You can't make it so complicated where it's too hard to keep up with. But, my gosh, you don't want to be doing this, guys.
Billions of dollars.
And what Ozempic is, they're saying, again, like I said, they're saying that this drug was never intended to be used as a long-term weight loss drug. It was designed to be used as a last-ditch effort diabetic 2 drug for people that were like, going to die if they couldn't get their blood sugar
Well, control. You know, here's the crazy part, though, and I understand the reasoning behind this.
I understand both sides of it. I don't agree with it.
Remember, that's what Scott Fitzgerald said. He said the sign of true genius is the ability to look at both sides of an argument and argue each side.
I can argue each side on this.
And Ozempic was going, but here's the problem. Ozempic never put out a giant warning, don't do this to the doctors.
No.
You're going to cause liability exposure for all of us.
No.
They didn't do that. They made hundreds of billions of dollars on this. And now all of a sudden people are dying with all these horrible side effects, and now they're saying, well, you were using it off-label.
Yeah.
Well, they should have put a big warning label out.
Maybe that was the plan all along. Allegedly.
But, you know, don't you know OxyContin's not addictive?
It's not addictive. It's an 8-hour controlled release opioid. It's not addictive.
No, there's nothing wrong with
it. Prescribe it like Pez. Oh, a guy sprained his ankle? OxyContin.
Yeah.
Back injury? OxyContin.
Give him 30-day supply.
Yeah, with refill.
With refill. Yeah. You know, indefinite amounts of refill. And then make sure we go through a pill mill on the side of the street where they set up a little clinic and have a doctor writing out prescriptions.
Yeah.
And they'll be lined up around the corner. I know somebody who had one, and they were lined up around the corner. And they're, of course, make sure they pay in cash only.
Yep. Insurance doesn't cover this
Insurance doesn't cover this one. And now you get all your opiates, and all of a sudden, all of a sudden Purdue Pharma goes, whoopsie. And now all of a sudden, they have to pay an $8 billion fine, but they made $100 billion.
Yeah, that was the wild part about it.
Unbelievable.
They do a cost benefit analysis. We've seen this. We saw this back. We talked about it with the vehicle industry going all the way back to the big three. Back
with seatbelts.
With seatbelts. They say it's going to cost X amount of money to litigate lawsuits for death without seatbelts. It's going to cost X amount of money to put seatbelts in all these vehicles. We're not putting them in. We'd rather pay the lawsuits.
Well, and they look at recalls, and they look at liability lawsuits. They see who's going to lose the most money. They go, well, if we got to recall all these vehicles, because if you hit your brakes and you're in an accident and you take a rear-end collision in a Pinto, it arcs into the gas tank and it explodes. Oh, we can't call all those Pintos back. It's going to cost too much.
Yeah.
It's cheaper just to stop making the Pinto.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just bring off the assembly line and just pretend like it's not there anymore.
Yeah, we did.
What is this?
We don't know what that was. That wasn't our car.
That wasn't our car.
Oh, by the way, the United States government now is proposing adding silver to a 2025 critical minerals list, highlighting a 64% dependence on silver. And this is interesting because silver's already going through the roof as it is. But
now it's got way higher to go.
Oh, yeah, it says the silver market is witnessing something unprecedented. Central banks are returning to a metal they abandoned. Central banks are buying it now, half a century ago, just as supply fundamentals are reaching a breaking point. Add to this already explosive mix the positioning in the futures market, and we could be looking at the condition for the largest breakout over a decade that could reshape global pricing dynamics. Woo. Russia broke the central banking taboo first by buying silver. In September 24, the Russian government revealed plans to spend 51 billion rubles, or 535 million over 3 years, to acquire silver for reserves like gold. Isn't that crazy?
That would be wild.
Yeah. The first explicit central bank silver purchase program in decades. 8 months later, Saudi Arabia central bank followed with significant silver acquisitions, marking the emergence of institutional silver demand from the world's most conservative investors. You know, it's funny to me because, you know, Solomon in the Old Testament, he had so many, how should I say, so much silver. They had to pile it outside of the gates of Jerusalem.
Yeah, could store it.
They had silver dumps. And they had to put soldiers around it to protect it because the gold, they had so much gold, they couldn't bring the money in fast enough. So I find it fascinating now that silver is actually making a big comeback, which we told you years ago that silver was a good investment and gold was a great investment. And so we're not giving you investment advice, but we're saying we told you that about 10 years ago. What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. Now, this is something that's it's interesting here. I was reading up on it a second ago. Where'd it go? I covered it yesterday, right? We briefly talked about it, where the White House terminated the CDC director. It came through. I discussed it. And this is another one. Now, they recently fired the CDC director. We talked about it. Health officials tapped to be acting CDC director. Now, the Department of Human Health and Services selected serve as acting director of the CDC. Trump has chosen Deputy Secretary Jim O'Neill as CDC's acting director. Now, I don't know as far as his background, his stance on health and vaccines, because this just came out just this morning. So I'm going to do some more research on this over the weekend and give you guys kind of a heads up and see where this is going. Because this is very strange, because yesterday I went into detail. I have my screen up. Sorry, guys. I just realized it wasn't up. As far as we had this lady that Dad said was probably a vegan. You know, I think he was probably accurate about that.
It's such a parasite. My gosh. Look at that hair.
She is officially nixed. She is gone, regardless of what her attorneys are saying. So they're saying Jim O'Neill is going to be poised to be the HHS or CDC director now. I don't know enough about him, but I'm going to do some more research as far as on this. They said the CDC advisor picked by Kennedy also is weighing whether to curtail recommendations on vaccines, including the hepatitis B shot. So, we're going to see what's going to go on. This is interesting. So I don't know if this was a move that they're going to manipulate more in the health community as far as they're going to use this guy as somebody to go in and change stuff. Or this is a move because this other lady was just too nuts and she was pro vaccine everything. I don't know. But so I'm going in and I'll be digging on to them on this. I'll be digging more into them on this. And another part, too, that's very, very disturbing. It's kind of strange on the money supply, too, with this. So I got to do some math on it. I just saw this morning. Essentially, the judge ordered the dismantling of Alligator Alcatraz to continue after the judge denies request for delay. They have 60 days to vacate Alligator Alcatraz. Everything has to be moved out.
It's nonsense.
Now, the weird part about this is, let me do the math on this real quick, because I'm going to get your take on this, Dad, because this is really, I was trying to figure out some numbers, and they weren't really adding up to me. 245, divided by 125,000. Stand with me on this. Whoops. Yes, didn't make any sense to me. Okay, so here's the numbers. I'm going to throw this at you, right? So they're saying now that DeSantis allocated $245 million for Alligator Alcatraz to be built. Here's what I don't understand about this. The average house in Central Florida with standard builders, talking block house at subdivisions that I personally know and have seen built, cost the developers around $125,000 to build. If they put $245 million to build this, that would have been almost 2,000 blockhouse residents that they could have built at this price. And all they have are mobile modulars, chain link fencing, generators, and porta potties.
Well, they may not have put the $245 million.
I don't know. I can't get it clarified on it. I've been looking at it. I don't know if this, and this is just my stance on it, if this whole thing was, again, another giant contractor money laundering scheme. I'm not accusing anyone. But the numbers that I'm seeing thrown out there and the numbers that I saw that were being applied and the contracts that were going out for this were abnormally high. I get it. It was a very isolated area. I get it. Needed a lot of fuel for things to be brought out there. But $250 million to put up a detainee system on an airstrip seemed like an awful lot of money, man. That all of a sudden now it's getting torn down and we're done. I'll get it out of here. Kind of odd to me.
It's probably going to cost $500 million to tear it down.
Right.
You know,
and I mean, like I said, 2,000 brick block houses in Florida could have been erected for $245 million it cost. 2,000.
Well, let's say, is it 2,000 or 200?
2,000.
Wow.
$125,000 for like the Miranda house.
So
like
10 houses would be $1 million. And correct. So 100 houses would be $10 million. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that's 2,000 houses.
Wow.
So you think about like how big of a gigantic community you could build for $250 million. And that's
well. I have to assume that the money didn't go into it.
I'm assuming. I'm hoping so.
Yeah.
But again,
a bunch of modules.
I have to say, I've seen this. I've talked to multiple guys down here in Florida. The money in Florida has gotten so outlandish that Florida spends now because we have a glut that a lot of these construction contractors, road contractors, get paid significantly more than any normal bids, way above normal market value.
The only time I've ever seen that was worth the money that was paid when they added that fourth lane on I-4.
That was necessary.
That was like 4 or 5 months they had that.
And they did it quick.
I mean, 4 or 5 months. I've never seen road construction that fast.
And that was an emergency act, too. He put that in. But I still haven't even seen a budget on that. I'm sure we paid a lot of money for that in the state of Florida. But it was
needed. State of Florida's got a giant glut, like you said, because of tourism.
Right, and that's where I kind of wondered, you know, okay, there's $250 million direct to modulars for the detention facility and now, you know, in the Everglades. But the crazy part to me about this is they're saying that because of the wildlife, because of the protected area, that essentially it's dangerous to detain the population down there. But also, too, they're saying that essentially because of the area, the tribe of Indians in Florida, they're fighting against this. I don't know if this is actually reasonable or if they're doing this on purpose, but the whole thing seems very strange to me that they suddenly got this approved. $250 million got allocated, and now suddenly it's like, no mas, pull it out of there, remove everything, make it go away. It never happened. I've just seen too much money laundering in politics, especially in Florida and other areas, to really believe this is something legitimate.
Well, it's just it's modular housing, but
that's my point.
It's like
they hook up a trailer, they're gone.
Yeah.
There's no significant infrastructure they put in there. Where the heck did $250 million get allocated to?
Well, but like I said, it may not have already been dispersed. They may have only put a few hundred, you know, $120 million or whatever into it.
Yeah.
Which is still way more than it should have been. Oh, by the way, you know, I've told you guys many, many times about Winston Churchill being a Druid. I remember one time I talked about this on Doug Hagman's show. And man, I got the letters, especially some guy who was from Great Britain. And he was a complete and total pain. He was so angry. Finally, I sent him a bunch of links about the Druid stuff, and then suddenly it was like quiet. It was just silence. And I want to read this to you. Untold Tales, the Occult Dabblings of the Allied Leadership in World War II. Hitler's connection to the occult is not a fringe theory. It's one of the most documented features of his regime. The Nazi Party grew out of the Thule Society, a nationalistic occult lodge that married dramatic myth with racial ideology. The symbols, rituals, and distorted paganism bled straight into the movement. Himmler's SS became a kind of priesthood dressed in a black rune-covered uniforms. By the way, they had really nice uniforms, the SS did, with castles converted into shrines. Now, what's interesting about this, we're also talking about what happened with Winston Churchill, and they've got a big picture of Winston Churchill being installed into the Albion Lodge of the Ancient Order of Druids at Blenheim Palace, August the 15th, 1908, before World War I. And I've told you guys so many times that Churchill was the Druid. Yep. And people say, well, no, he's not. Winston Churchill is remembered as a bulldog of Britain, a cigar-smoking statesman who rallied his island with words that sounded like cannon fire, yet in the shadows he wore different robes. Before the Second World War ever tested him, he'd been initiated into the Ancient Order of Druids, a fraternal society cloaked in ritual, pageantry, and trappings of the ancient priesthood. This blood cult was what it is. For a man who would later posture as a great defender of Christian civilization, which he lied about that, he was not. The image of Churchill dressed in a druid regalia ought to give us pause. He was not merely a politician of empire. He was a man willing to step into strange fellowships, dabble in symbolic rites, and entertain all sorts of secret societies that carry with them more the whiff of the occult. The Ancient Order of Druids was a pagan revival in a literal sense, but it was far more than the Gentleman's Club. Founded in London in the 18th century, the order borrowed the imagery and ritual of the ancient Celtic priesthood. Its members proceeded in white robes. I'll let you guys read the rest of this stuff. Some argue it was harmless, blah, blah, blah. And you know, Churchill also had ties to Freemasonry, as did Stalin, okay, as did Woodrow Wilson. As did, you know, all these other people involved in World War II at the end, including when Roosevelt was also a Freemason, and then his predecessor was a Freemason. Churchill also had brief ties to Freemasonry, although he's not devoted to the lodge as Roosevelt. And they're talking about that now. So all of this stuff, you got to realize, you guys can look this and read that. There's a reason that they bombed Dresden. That's why I'm bringing this up. Dresden was a blood sacrifice offering in February of 1945. Germany was on its knees. The Allies were advancing towards Berlin. The Russians were advancing towards Berlin. Germany was done. It was toast. It was finished. When Dresden was bombed, Dresden was the Baroque capital of Europe. Dresden had old women, old men, young women, and a whole bunch of children. No armaments, no factories, nothing. And they came in around midnight, and they bombed it with concussion bombs. By the way, Churchill ordered this. And then 2 hours later, they came in with incendiary bombs, and they burnt the city to the ground and killed up to, some people say, 500,000 people in one night. And then for the ones who ran out to the river to get away from the searing heat from the burning of the buildings, they came in and strafed them with P-51s, with 50-caliber bullets, and cut everybody in half. It was a giant blood sacrifice, in my opinion, and a lot of historians say the same thing. So was Churchill doing this because he was basically a druid and he needed a blood sacrifice? My answer to that is yes, and that's how I feel about this. And you guys can read through the rest of this stuff and read the article. But it's an interesting article, and it's something that I've been saying for the past 10 years. I'll never forget that also when I said that on Hagman so many years ago, that one guy from Britain was so angry.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, no, the bombing of Dresden, and if you read the real documentation on a lot of it, it's considered to be one of the biggest wartime criminal, one of the largest war crimes in the entire World War II due to it directly targeting almost an entire just direct civilian population. Do your own research on it. It's crazy because, you know what? I have never heard anybody talk about Dresden except me and you. Nobody.
Jeff French does, but he's
Jeff French. Okay,
me, you, and Jeff.
I'm talking. I brought it up to alt media people.
They don't even know
what the Dresden bombing was. And you can just type in Wikipedia, and there's all these different references on and what they say as far as numbers. But there is one thing that is a direct conclusion. It was a civilian only area. It was a complete and total massacre as a war crime, and nothing. No. What? Dresden? Dresden? What? Who?
There's another really interesting book. And it says it's called The Most Dangerous Book in the World. 9/11 is a Mass Sacrificial Ritual. You need to read that book, too. And that goes all into the occult, again, with the Masonic lodges and why all the symbolism that was being used on the trade towers before it came down. That's a really interesting book. I covered that on Hagman one day, too. And we did it on our show one time. It's been many years ago when I read that book. But I think you get that book as a free PDF now.
If you read the reference on it, too, they reference the actual historians who brought it up as a terror bombing. That's what it's specifically called because it was directed towards civilians and it had no useful purpose. Then other people argue, well, it was a communication hub for the Germans. However, the problem is Dresden was cut off. There was no communications there anymore. The place was isolated. There was no directive as far as any military direction anymore. And so doing what they did, it was estimated, I think when I pulled up earlier, they said almost 4,000 metric tons of bombs were dropped.
Unbelievable.
4,000 tons. I mean, that's some sick, serious ordnance. It was like, oh, we dropped a Patriot missile and we dropped a Patriot missile.
Well, no, it was wave after wave.
That's what they called it, a terror bombing. Because it wasn't even like a strategic military bombing where they came in, we got specific targets, boom, 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 boom. Targets done, pull back.
Well, my mom told me, she was there. Not in Dresden, but she was in Germany.
Yeah.
And she said what they would do, they'd fly over from England. You know, it's so funny because my grandparents, my mom were there.
Oh, I know. Okay?
And she told me, and Grandpa told me one time, that they would see so many bombers in the sky during the day coming. They used to do nighttime bombing raids. But after the Luftwaffe had been destroyed, they didn't have to do that anymore. They could just come in daytime. And then what they would do, they would take all day to fly over there and all day to come back. And so it would be nighttime. And they would look for any light.
On the ground.
So if somebody had their house, you know, and they left a window open.
Or fire going.
Anything. They would vomit. I mean, Fritz, you know, Matt, met Fritz. Fritz, he's passed away now, but he told me they were out there in the field one time, you know, plowing, trying to grow food, and they dropped bombs on them.
Really?
They saw them down there. Yeah, they dropped bombs. So at the end, Germany was being bombed for civilian casualties only.
It was. No.
And it was horrible what they did.
It was.
And then with Eisenhower, with his death camps, he had 2 million Germans. They were basically locked up behind barbed wire. They were the soldiers, and he starved them to death. The Eisenhower death camps, look it up. I'm not making this crap up. It's sickening what they did in World War II. And so when I see this, you know, with Druids and all the other stuff with Winston Churchill, I realize that the stuff that I was told and what I've reported on for all of these years is very, very true.
But again, they always twist history because they want it to fit their narrative. That's always the issue.
Well, Hitler made a mistake, but he didn't make a mistake. But he did something. The international banking cartels helped put him into power. And then in 37, he took the doggone German mark and he stopped using central banks and he got rid of the Rothschild boys. He started putting debt-free currency.
And that's a big no-no.
Oh, boy. And so all of a sudden, he became, you know, Time Magazine Man of the Year. And Germany said was unbelievably prosperous for about 3 or 4 years. And then all of a sudden, because they had no more debt. And suddenly they realized, oh, my gosh, if this gets out, oh, no, what are we going to do? And so we got to completely destroy that DNA, and they pretty much did.
Well, switching gears on something a little bit lighter than Dresden. New study just came out.
Dresden's pretty heavy.
Yeah. Billions of people have inadequate micronutrients, a study estimates, because many diseases worldwide are caused by vitamin and mineral deficiencies, which we know. So according to a new study in Lancet Global Health, 99.3% of the global population is missing at least one micronutrient. It's pretty crazy here. It says, study is a big step forward. Deficiencies in micronutrients harm health and can lead to a range of preventable health conditions. Iron deficiency is a common cause of anemia. Vitamin A deficiency is a leading cause of preventable blindness, affecting mostly children and pregnant women. It said, researchers said the new study is the first to provide global estimates of inadequate consumption of 15 major micronutrients. The first one on the list, ironically enough, is iodine. Iodine, vital for cognitive development in infants. Iodine plays an essential role for pregnant. And look at this right here. It says common sources of iodine, salt, seaweed, and seafood. The thing about this is iodine is best taken with essentially the we have the molecular iodine, which is the best one to take on here. Look at this other one. Vitamin E. Deficiency may cause weakness, impaired coordination. Vitamin E is essential. There's a reason why we always tell you guys some folate, vitamin C. Vitamin C is one of those ones. There is no excuse to be deficient in vitamin C here. Deficiencies cause gum bleeding, poor wound healing. I talk about vitamin C all the time on here. But I thought this was an interesting article because it's saying now the vast majority of people have some type of micronutrient deficiency. This is one of the reasons why when we put together a lot of the supplements, especially like the Ultimate Multiple Powder, I have one around here somewhere. I think he took it. You take my multiple powder?
Yes, I was using it in the house.
Took my multiple powder. I need my prop. The multiple powder is loaded with that. And then on top of that, you also have the GHI, which has a very similar profile to that. And you have all the detoxifying formulas in GHI Cleanse. So,
and turmeric.
And turmeric's really good for inflammation. But it's funny to me, they said the number one deficient still in the country is iodine. And that's a really easy one to fix. And that's one of the reasons why we always tell everybody, like, the thyroid support or the molecular iodine or the iodine with selenium. We got multiple options for that.
The biggest reason that we have iodine imbalances is because of what's happening with the thyroid gland. Because the thyroid gland absorbs bromine and chloride and fluorine as iodine. And so the thyroid doesn't work right because it thinks it doesn't need any. Well, it thinks it's absorbing iodine already.
Okay.
The iodine gets in the thyroid gland and nothing lives past iodine.
It kills everything.
So what happens is when the thyroid gland's huge, and what happens is as blood flowing through the thyroid gland, if it sees a pathogen inside of the bloodstream, it zaps it with iodine. It attacks it, and so basically gets rid of it. And so the problem is bromine won't do that. Chlorine won't do that. Fluorine won't do that. Only iodine does that. And the problem is that's why so many people's thyroids are so messed. And that's one of the other reasons that they're gaining weight. That and alcohol.
Yeah, because if the thyroid can't function, the metabolism can't function properly.
No, it can't. And it's so funny. I was talking to a person the other day, and they were saying, well, the older I get, the fatter I'm getting. I'm like, and she,
is that the way you wanted to
be?
Well,
no, they're sitting and drinking a glass of wine.
Yeah, whenever people say stuff like that.
No.
You taught me that. ask yourself a question. Is that the way I want it to be?
Yeah.
The older I get, the sicker I keep getting. Is that the way you want it to be? Yeah. God, it's a negative confession.
I told you guys, I tried aging 10 years ago. I didn't like it. I decided not to do it anymore. And so that's the confession you want.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, I told her, I said, the problem is she's sitting there drinking a glass of wine. He's on a video chat.
And I said,
do you not realize what you're doing by dumping all of that sugar and all that alcohol is stopping the enzyme that you need, basically.
To burn body fat.
Lipase.
Yep.
And so what happens is you get just two glasses of wine a week, you'll gain a pound a month.
Yeah.
And you think, well, what will do that? It does that. And I see it over and over and over again. But I like my wine. No, you like self-medicating. You like the way alcohol makes you feel.
Well,
because
also remember this. A lot of times, you said this earlier, and this is a really big factor everybody needs to understand. A lot of people that are drinking heavily have blood sugar imbalances and are hypoglycemic. Hypoglycemia and blood sugar imbalances cause you to crave sugar. Alcohol is primarily composed of sugar, especially wine. Wine is like all sugar. So what happens is a lot of times when people start drinking on and off, they start craving sugar. They start craving carbohydrates. That's why they start drinking. And then when they start drinking, they start craving more junk food. One of the absolute worst things you can possibly do for burning body fat is throwing in alcohol and then throwing in like pasta or pizza. The body can under no circumstances burn those and utilize those as carbohydrates for fuel. Period. It's got to burn the ethanol off first, and it can't burn the ethanol off fast enough to utilize the carbohydrates you just put in your body, and you don't have the lipase to digest and process the fats and carbs. So what happens is it's a double whammy when you start drinking and you start craving food, because you always, well, a lot of times, invariably, I've seen it, when people start drinking, they crave carbohydrates because their body's having a blood sugar up and down with like, it's almost like mild hypoglycemia. So they drink, oh, I want some pasta, I want some bread.
I just thought of something. This is interesting. You think about it for a second. You know, when my blood sugar goes low,
right,
and yours too,
yep,
I get grumpy.
Oh, I do too.
I do. I get grumpy.
Right.
I'm like,
I want food.
Bad mood.
Give me some beef.
Sharon used to say, let's go shopping. I'm like, I got to eat.
Yeah.
and she learned after about four or five times of shopping with me hungry, I don't buy anything.
Not fun.
I'm not fun. You know? And then if my blood sugar's stable, I feel good. You know, I would sit there and pretty much buy her stuff that she wanted, right? And so think about it for a second. I never thought about this until right now on the show. You guys are having a revelation. You got two types of drunks.
Yeah.
Think about what I'm about to say.
Mean drunks and fun drunks.
How do we know the mean drunks aren't the ones that they're having a hypoglycemic reaction from the alcohol sugar?
That's true. Blood sugar starts dumping.
Now, blood sugar drops under 80. I'm pissed off. I'm going to go beat somebody up.
And here's why this happens, by the way, because your body's designed to have this happen, especially with males. When your blood sugar drops and you get hungry, your body immediately starts going into a cortisol-induced fight or flight zone. You're hungry. I'm going to go kill something. I'm going to eat something. This is how it's invariably designed from an intrinsic nature standpoint.
Never thought about that.
I'm hungry. Let's go hunt. Let's go get us a deer. Let's go get us a cow. I'm hungry. I want to eat. I'm getting aggressive. I'm no longer in a fun mood. I'm not hanging out.
I'm not
eating.
I'm not in a gaming mood.
Right. You're mean. You're hungry. You want to eat. Well, the same thing still occurs. We're just in a much more civilized society, and we have food readily available. So now I'm hungry. I need to eat. And you're exactly right. I didn't think about that either. Now, some blood sugar dumps go into a cortisol-induced hunger episode. I'm hungry. Blood sugar's messed up. I'm mean now. Interesting.
Wow.
Interesting way to think
about
that. I never thought about that either.
I bet you you're right. I bet you check a glucose tolerance test on these people. They either have extremely elevated blood sugar,
yep,
they got a bunch of
extremely low blood sugar,
or extremely low.
Yep.
And that's
based on mood, because a lot of times when your blood sugar goes up sometimes and it's elevated, you're in a happier mood. You're more energetic. You want to run around and do stuff. Interesting topic for today.
But I never really thought about that. But that's why these people who basically have a problem with hypoglycemia are constantly in a foul mood, and they have all kinds of emotional disturbances.
Yeah,
I mean, they're always upset about something. They're always acting weird, you know, and they make bad decisions and bad choices all the time.
Yeah.
I've seen that. You know, remember I mentioned this the other day. Cecilia Roosevelt, MD, wrote one of her books. She's a psychiatrist. She said the surprising number of broken marriages and people who are having problems with their marriages were suffering from blood sugar related disorders. Now you think about it this way. You got a dude who's got this. What if the girl's got it too?
Oh, yeah.
What if they both have it? Wow, we're all mad all the time. You know, it's horrible. By the way, the Trantifa trans cult is issuing a new death threat against journalist Andy Ngo after he reported on their public celebration of the children's brutal killing at the Minneapolis, Minnesota Catholic Mass.
Did you say Trantifa? So that's a new thing now, Trantifa?
Apparently, these transgenders, as far as I'm concerned, they're mentally ill.
They are mentally ill.
But now there's a cult, and they're all excited this guy killed these kids, and they're actually celebrating it. And so now they're issuing basically a death threat against this journalist because he basically said that this is what these guys were doing. So this is some crazy stuff. And you start to realize that what you have here is a group of people that are mentally ill.
They're mentally ill. They're completely and totally nuts. And that's the problem that I have is sitting around justifying it, being like, well, they have a problem. We need to allow them to do anything they want. Dude, they're a mental nutcase.
And look at what's going on with MKUltra. All of the hallmarks are there. The editor of the New American Magazine, William F. Jasper, breaks down the classic signs of a CIA mind control being involved in the Minnesota Catholic mass trans shooting. I mean, you think about it for a second. You wind these trans boys up and these trans girls up or whatever the heck they are, and you tell them that basically they're okay and they're the normal ones and that they're serving their God eyes.
And then you put them on cross-sex hormones.
Oh, yeah.
So now you completely twist up their mind on how they're functioning, because now you're sitting there giving, estrogen to a male and giving all these other hormone blockers to males or vice versa. So now you're already causing even more of an emotional distress on them. And then exactly like you said, you get them on some forums, you get them in some groups, you tell them how great they are, how smart they are, how they're doing the world a great service because they're trans. And they actually believe it, man.
You know, well, Gutfried said this of the trans shooting. He blasted the Democrats. He said that they're enabling this hysteria. Of horror. Fox News commentator Greg Gutfeld succinctly outlined how Democrats have encouraged and coddled mentally ill individuals, including the Minnesota shooter, and always attempt to escape their own culpability when the inevitable happens. As we noted, the reaction from the Democrats to their leftist mouthpieces to the horrific school shooting has been to defend the trans community and suggest erroneous narratives are being spread by conservatives, all the while they are attacking Americans for daring to offer prayers for the victims, including the children still fighting for their lives in the hospital. I mean, this is unbelievable, Austin, that they're actually doing this and saying it itself. The most compassionate people on this planet are trying to stop the trans delusion, he continued, adding, the least compassionate are the people in the media, academia, and the politicians who enabled this hysteria of horror. Yep. Why is it so glaring about the trans cult? Apparently, your identity is the only thing that matters until you do something awful, then in the least important variable, the host asserted. Then you look at everyone else. You talk about guns, but all you hysterical phenomena that was going no place good. You created a poisonous program that twisted young minds for destruction, a nihilistic place to be where you deny biology, and they have nowhere to go, he says. And now they're doing it, and it's such a horrific act. So all of these media arguments that you're seeing among these people to escape their own culpability and the reality they created, the host further charged. So forget the layer of mental illness and gun control. The origin of evil lies in the creation of a mindset that indulge a delusional self-ruining connection with fellow human beings. So that trans, by ascribing extreme aggrieved mentality, then gets directed against society. So this person feels justified in killing children. His killing resulted from that ideology. And if you don't believe that, you're dumb, blankety blank, he said. And you know what? He's right. You get a group of people out there that are being and that are answering to their god, Ein Sof, who's a doggone transgender. He's an hermaphrodite snake in a tree. They're Kabbalist, Luciferian synagogue of Satan. They run the media. They run Hollywood. They run the Disney grooming syndicate. They run all of this junk, and they push it and push it and push it, and these kids believe it because they want them, these children, to be transgenders so they'll be closer to their god as an act of homage to their snake god. This is sickening. It all goes back to that. And he's not going into detail like I just did, but that's this point. It's a religious phenomenon is what it is. It's a cultish phenomenon. It's a blood ritual cultish phenomenon that led to the destruction of these children and the killing of these kids. It's sickening to me. And so you have mentally ill people running around with guns now who think they're something else, and they're angry because they had their appendages cut off, and now they're like, well, I've had enough. I'm killing everybody.
I didn't think about that. You got to think about the mental anguish somebody goes on after they realize, dude, I just castrated myself for ever.
Well, they don't castrate themselves. They cut their penis off too. They come in, they grab it, cut it off, and then they give themselves a gaping hole, Okay, and they use part of their intestinal tract that's constantly trying to heal itself. It's sickening what they do to themselves.
Friday. Okay.
No.
I have to switch gears, though, to cover this. This just came out from Children's Health Defense.
But how mad would you be if
I'd
you
be
did
mad
that?
Too, but I got to cover this for the end of the show.
Oh, we're almost out of
CDC
time.
CDC Director Susan Mraz, the vegan. Okay.
The one with the one that she's covered with parasites.
Children's Health Defense just put out an entire article on her
on
why she got terminated.
Here we go.
Trump fires CDC director who clashed with RFK Jr. for vaccine policy. Listen to this, though. I didn't know she was involved in this. Mraz, the CDC director, after Trump, he nominated her, basically. However, look at her background. They said, essentially, she's a biosecurity veteran and was previous deputy director of the Advanced Research Project Agency for Health, which is ARPAH, an agency within HHS created by the administration to accelerate high-risk, high-reward biomedical research, and was modeled and operated under U.S. military's Defense Advanced Research Project.
DARPA.
She worked under DARPA.
That means, I'm not saying that she did this, but she was probably directly involved in the DARPA research with the mRNA vaccines
exactly
20 years ago.
Exactly right. She said during her confirmation hearing with the Senate, she affirmed her belief that all vaccines save lives and pledged to prioritize all vaccine availability. She said, and I quote, mRNA vaccines are safe and with demonstrated efficacy, and she was unaware of any confirmed scientific link between any vaccines and autism.
Unbelievable.
She was hardcore RNA gene therapy. So again, guys, this is something you got to look at and go, okay, why was she even put in place in the first place? That's what you got to yourself the question. She was operating under this ARPAH agency that Biden put together. Like, Biden put this together to operate under DARPA. Why in the world was she rolled out? Was she put in this position because she knew a lot? Why in the world are you putting somebody that operates under DARPA like this with this biomedical research, as far especially when you start doing experimental research with super soldier programs? Why the heck was she put in this place in the first place? I don't know. But apparently, they told her she needed to resign. She refused. Said she was not leaving. She was not resigning. That's why she was terminated.
So she basically, you know, she said mRNA vaccines are safe and would demonstrate
efficacy. She was unaware of any confirmed scientific link between vaccines and autism.
She's an idiot. So I can show her 300 of them.
She's a hardcore pro-vaccine, pro-experimental RNA gene.
So Trump picked her, and apparently Kennedy didn't approve it, but went ahead and let it go through, and then she's starting to stop everything he's trying to do.
That's what they're saying here now, is everything he was trying to do in the CDC, she blocked it as the director. You're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing this. And he said, no, these vaccines need to get pulled. They need to be inspected, especially the RNA shot now. And what he said the other day, as far as the interventions that are causing autism, he's going to roll out next week and talk about them. I guess she was trying to block him on that as well. So I have no idea why she even got put in place.
Well, I know. I don't know, but I'm going to speculate. We have money we're going to wire to you. Do you have a Swiss account number?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not saying that she did that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that there are a lot of people out there that have all kinds of money coming in under the table.
That's exactly right.
But this thing's involved with DARPA. She was in DARPA.
And she was under this ARPHA. I never even knew what this agency was. So I just looked it up. The Advanced Research Project Agency for Health. It was basically a DARPA platform under the umbrella of HHS.
It was probably the exact agency that was working on developing the Super Soldier program.
And they were probably developing new RNA gene therapy.
So she knows that all the cats and all the ferrets died.
She knows everything.
She knows everything.
Yeah. So again, guys, I want to cover that because we talked about it yesterday. I couldn't figure out why she's being terminated. She wasn't leaving. Now we got some background on who she was, what she was involved in. And tying back to what we're talking about, blood sugar. If anybody's got any questions on it, the body fat burning blood sugar kit, the cinnamon extract, and the berberine.
Boy, that's a stack now.
It's a stack. And Harrison, he wrote me an article on this, if you guys have read it yet. Really good writer. You know, my brother, he's amazing at writing. Probably
brilliant
one of the best writers I know. He's an attorney.
I taught him how to write. Now he writes better than me.
Now he writes better than you.
I know. It's sad. What have I done? I created a monster.
The benefits of berberine and cinnamon of blood sugar regulation. So he covered this in detail, really broke it down. Also has the clinical references in here on berberine, efficacy, cinnamon use, herbs and spices. Did a really good job on this. So this is a very short, concise article, but goes into detail that the cinnamon and berberine really helps to regulate blood sugar, which again today kind of seemed like it was a blood sugar show today, so I want to cover that on here.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you think about it, if your blood sugar is stabilized, you're going to feel a lot better all the time.
Feel way better.
Yeah.
We talk about on the show. I mean, Dad and I have specific diets we eat in the morning because I can't be, nor he can be, on an hour-long show and have your blood sugar crash. You go full blood sugar crashing. You don't feel good. You start sweating. And you're like, huh.
So I get grumpy.
Grumpy. He doesn't want to deal with us grump. Trust me. Don't want to deal with us grumpy.
That's why I have my eggs in the morning.
And on top of that, collagen peptides.
And my Fit Food.
Well, that goes in the morning. That goes my Fit Food all the time, too. Check it out. On sale. Over 35% off right now. Be sure to check out the website on the weekend if you need anything. Team Health Masters, my friends. I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe and stay healthy.
I love you guys. Remember, go to church this weekend. And remember, Jesus is the reason we're all here. He built us. And always remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for directing and doing the best you possibly can as far as keeping your family safe and keeping your family eating healthy. I love you guys, and I really, really appreciate you so much. And we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.